Thank you, Peter, for this kind introduction. It's actually my privilege to be here this morning. The church been with us as a family for a long time. We got in contact with the church for the first time, I think, in 76. Is that right about? Around 76, when I accepted the Lord in my life. It is this church that helped us find a church in Belgium. This church that helped us through my Bible training in Heverlee, and then been supporting us in the ministry ever since. So that is quite a long time that you've been involved in our ministry and in our lives as well. I would like to share this morning a couple ideas of Amos chapter 1. The first is 1 and 2. It's quite a simple message, but people tell me I'm quite simple anyway. So it'd be easy to remember, but you know, there's one problem with messages you remember. Is that you remember them. Yeah, so I want to share these ideas. The word of Amos, who was amongst the sheep herders from Tekoa, which he envisioned in visions concerning Israel in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, son of Joash, king of Israel, 2 years before the earthquake, and he said, "The Lord roars from Zion, and from Jerusalem he utters his voice, and the shepherd's pasture grounds mourn, and the summit of Carmel dries up." Let's have a short word of prayer. Father, I want to pray for us that you open our hearts, that you help us to understand what you are trying to tell us this morning. Engrave it in our hearts and help us to live by your word in the knowledge of you. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know how familiar you are with what is called the minor prophets. You know, those are the kind of books most Christians don't like to read. They might like to read them, like me, but you don't understand too much of it. Yeah, unless you know quite a bit of some background of what is going on. But one thing I've noticed about the minor prophets is we don't really know much about them, about the writers, I mean. You know, when you look at those books and you look at the introductions, usually all we know about the minor prophet is his name. His name, sometimes it tells us where he comes from. And occasionally, we learn a little bit about his family, who his mother is, who the father is, or from which tribe he comes. And that's it. Because, see, the minor prophets, they don't spend too much time introducing themselves. Right away, they start off with the word of God. Thus saith the Lord. And before you know it, you're in to the Word of God. And Amos is no exception to that. Although, I don't know if you noticed, but we have some information on Amos in the introduction. He does tell us something about himself. It says, "Amos, the sheep herder from Tekoa." And you know, when I read something like that, I wonder why. Why? Of all the information that they probably could give us on Amos, why does the Bible find it important to tell us that Amos was a sheep herder from Tekoa. Why? Well, I have this morning a very positive message. Let me give you 3 points. It's a very positive message. I want to introduce to you that Amos was the wrong man at the wrong time with the wrong message. Yeah? The wrong man at the wrong time with the wrong message. Very positive. Now, think a little with me now. When something special happened in the news, when there's some great event in the news, like we just had recently, we had plenty events in the news lately. Earthquakes, we had the tsunami, you had in Japan with the nuclear reactor and all things. But when something like that happened, and you turn on your television to watch the news, what do you notice? Well, there's always one thing you notice when you watch the news at times like that, is that the news reader is never sitting alone. You ever noticed that? On a special occasion, the news reader never sits alone. There's always some specialist sitting alongside. Some expert. Have you noticed that? You got to notice it because it's obvious. So why does he sit there? Well, the reason why he sits there is to emphasize the message that is being given. Because he's the specialist, right? He knows where he's talking about. So it got to be truth. And that specialist then will say what had happened, why it had happened, and often he will even say what could have been done in order to prevent it. Specialists know that. I remember it, it's already been several years now, but it was the first time I was invited to go to South Africa to visit some churches over there. And right before I left, I got an email saying that the University of Stellenbosch invited me to speak on, and I sort of have to read, make sure I got my title right here. They wanted me to speak on the influence of postmodern thinking on our Western society. Yeah? Got that? I didn't. But anyway, I prepared myself and I went over there. And I went to the university and I was introduced to the dean. And one of the first things the dean asked me was, "Sir, how do I have to introduce you to my students?" Understand what he's asking? What is your title? Who are you that you speak on a topic like the influence of postmodern thinking on our Western society? Wilfried Gosses, diesel mechanic from Hamme. Now, he was impressed. You can ask Faye. She can confirm that he was impressed. See? Amos. Farmer, sheep herder from Tekoa. See, in chapter 7 of Amos, it tells us that Amos says that he wasn't even a prophet and that he was no part of the school of prophets. It tells me he didn't even have the proper training. He was the wrong man for God to choose. Because he was not really prepared for it. He was inadequate to do what he was supposed to do. Then he came at the wrong time. I don't know if you noticed. When did he come? Did you see it in the verses? He came 2 years before the earthquake. Hey, Amos. Not done. You're too early, man. It's obvious you're not a specialist. See, he came way too early. He came 2 years before the earthquake. He came at the wrong time. The real specialist would have waited till after the earthquake. Yeah. And then he had the wrong message. His message was totally off. Look at it with me. He came there, it says, in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, son of Joash, king of Israel. Let me just point out one or two things about these kings and about those days. See, Jeroboam, the king, Jeroboam the second, king of Israel in those days, was the king, the Old Testament tells me, that was used by God to save Israel from his enemy. In 2 Kings chapter 14, it says that God did not say to destroy his people, but he saved them through the hand of Jeroboam, son of Joash. With other words, he was the king that restored the country. He was the king that brought peace in the country. He was the king that for the first time in a long time, in several years, people were able to harvest and eat what they harvested. For the first time, there were no enemies trying to destroy them. He brought peace in the country. Uzziah, king of Judah, 2 Kings chapter 15, you read that he walked in the ways of the Lord. He was one of the few. In his days, people did go to the temple. In his days, people did bring sacrifices to God. Things were going good religiously. What is the message of Amos? What is Amos saying? He's bringing a message of judgment. He's saying that the Lord roars from Zion, and from Jerusalem he utters his voice, and the shepherd's pasture's ground mourn, and the summit of Carmel dries up. Amos! Haven't you seen? It's going good. It's going great. We're moving forward. We are worshiping God. We are singing songs. We are bringing sacrifices. We are doing what is expected from us to do. Why? Why your message? It's way off. It's a wrong message. He was the wrong person at the wrong time with the wrong message. You ever felt that way? You ever felt out of place? You ever felt inadequate? Not capable to do what God wanted you to do, or to walk the way God wanted you to walk? You ever felt like like this is the wrong time for you to be in? That your message is not really relating to the people you're communicating to at school, your friends. You know, when you talk about the Bible, when you talk about creation, when you talk about the miracles God did, and people look at you like, huh? What planet are you from? At work? When you talk about biblical standards? And people say, hey man, come on now. This is 2011. These are not the old days anymore. You ever felt like you, the wrong man or woman, at the wrong time, with the wrong message? Well, I have a message for you, because that's where it's all about. It's not about you. See? It's not about me. It's not how capable I am. It's not how capable I feel or you feel. It's not about what you can do or not do. It's not about whether you think you have the right message or not the right message. It's about the Word of God. It's about God and God's glory. No more, no less. That's where it's all about. That's where it's about in your life. And that's where it's about in my life. Let me tell you a few things about the Word of God. And those are really encouraging. See, God's Word is power. Remember that. God's Word is power. Be not ashamed for God's Word. Being in missions and being director of a mission, you know, you're expected to be able to do a lot of things. And I've done in my days a lot of door-to-door work. Now, if there's one thing I hate, you guessed it, didn't you? It's door-to-door work. I don't like it at all. For me, every door, and this is honest, every door is dying. Yeah. And from the moment this, you know, the campaign started, they say, let's do door-to-door work. So the moment the campaign is finished, I pray that I would not have to do door-to-door work. I hate it. You know, but when you did door-to-door work and you ring this first door and somebody opens it and got that experience. Second door, somebody opens it and third door, you know, you're kind of able to say where gospel is all about, and four door, and goes on and on. And after a while, you know, I would start thinking, I have to change my method. I have to make this more interesting, right? Like at school or at work, and you're talking about the Word of God, and nobody's listening, and you think, I got to make this more interesting so people listen to me. You know, and before you know it, you're using all kind of arguments, philosophical ones, scientific ones that you don't even understand yourself, but you're using them anyway. Yeah. And you're using all kind of arguments to convince people that the only sensible thing to do is to believe, right? Because you want them to understand that you are a sensible person and that you came to know the Lord by reasoning, That impresses them, right? Let me give you a message. Stop doing that. We don't need to defend God's word. We don't need to prove God's word is truth. You came to know the Lord because God opened your heart. That's the only reason. Not because of all your sensible arguments and you came to the conclusion that. No, God opened your heart. See, that was, I think, Spurgeon. Used to be a very famous English preacher. And so Spurgeon said that if you have a lion, you don't put the lion in the cage and then get in front of it to defend them. No, you open the cage and get out of the way. The lion will defend itself. That's the word of God. The word of God is a lion. The word of God is authority. And it does need us to defend it. It just needs us to present it. Present it in our lives and present it by our words. And the word of God will work in the heart and in the life of people. Just like it worked in your heart and in your life. Just like it is working in your heart and in your life. God's word is authority. So do not be ashamed. God's word is always on time. See, Amos, it seemed like it was 2 years early. He was off base, yeah? He came too early to be the expert. No. Why did Amos came 2 years before the earthquake? It's very simple. It's called grace. That's what it's called. Grace. See, the Bible tells us that God doesn't do anything, or he warns the people through his servants, the prophets. God warns people of things coming on. God warns people what is going wrong in their life, what is going wrong around them. God wants people to know before it is too late. Because God's word is grace. So, present it while there is still time. Present it while there is still time. The Bible tells us that very clear, that God had spoken to us, had spoken to the people in many ways. He's spoken to the people through his prophets. And in the last days, it says, he spoke and he speaks to us through his Son, Jesus Christ. God's word is always on time. So present it. God's word is relevant. This is a tough one, I think. Because see, sometimes when you present or you talk about God's word to people around you, to people at work, you know, friends at school, to your family, you know, it seems like it's out of place, right? It seems like they don't really need that. It's not really relevant for them, you know? You know, they told me when I was taking courses on evangelism, that they always say that you have to make sure, this was a strategy now, yeah, you have to make sure that people feel sick before you present them the solution. You heard that one before? You have to make sure that they know that they are sinners before you present them the solution. The problem is, Most people don't think of themselves as being sinners. Oh yeah, they do sin. Of course. Are you perfect? I'm not. Hey, God is love, right? Isn't he? See, or they don't even believe in God. I mean, if you do door-to-door today, I don't know if you did already door-to-door today in Belgium. You've been talking to people in Belgium lately? And you talk about God and eternal life? You seen their reaction? There is no God. There is no eternal life. There is nothing. Are you telling that they're supposedly unhappy, but you know, they look happy. They seem to have everything they need. They seem to be doing quite well without God. We're doing as good without God as without government. Maybe I shouldn't have said that one. You know, but God's word is relevant. See, when Amos spoke in his days, it seemed like everything was doing great and going good. It seemed like people were following God. It seemed like they were bringing sacrifices. But you know what God tells us in his word? He tells us in chapter 2 that God tells to Amos that there was social decay. The rich were getting richer and the poor were getting poorer. There was moral decay. There were no moral norms anymore. And there was religious decay. The priests were doing their own thing on the expense of the people. Sounds familiar? And it all was covered up with a layer of religious life. But God looked right through the layer. And God says in chapter 5, it's one of the hardest chapters to read. You know what God tells them there? I'm going to kind of use my own words there. He tells them, I hate your worship. I hate your sacrifices. I hate your music. I hate it because in your daily life, you're far away from me. You're not following me. You know that word was spoken to God's people? See, that was not spoken to the world. It would have been us sitting in the audience. Yeah. So I believe that if you want to reach the world, God's word is also relevant for our lives as Christians. It's not just relevant for the world around us. God's message is in the first place for you and for me. That's where I'm aiming at. I believe, and this is between brackets, although quite important, I believe that there are too many what I've come to call umbrella Christians. You know what umbrella Christians are? You know, when the preacher stands up here and he preaches about grace and love and all the good stuff God is offering us, you know, they close their umbrella and let all the blessing fall on them. When preacher comes and he starts preaching something that's too hard to them, they open their umbrella and let all the blessing fall on the neighbor. And then they say, hey, that's exactly what he needed. I'm glad you preached that message today. Or we point at the world and we say, look at this bad, bad world. God says, his message is relevant also for you. Amen. So let's speak to you. God's word is authority. Be not ashamed. God's word is on time. Now is the time to present it. God's word is relevant. Let it speak to you. Peter ends, and that's the verse I want to end with, says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 24, the word tells us this. All the flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flowers of grass. The grass withers, and the flowers fall off, but the word of the Lord abides forever. And that word God has entrusted to us to present to the people around us.